Welcome to City Hope London's Sermon Podcast. To find out more about us, visit www.cityhope.london.
Too hot in there, feel free. But kids, as I'm talking, the rabbit is going to be going round giving you little eggs if you're listening well. In fact, even if you're an adult, if you're looking particularly good and attentive, you might get lucky. So, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? You're looking for the Easter rabbit. That's the question that Mary gets asked. Who are you looking for? In fact, she gets asked two questions. The first question, why are you crying? And the second question, who are you looking for? Which is a strange question to ask someone in her situation. And if it wasn't Jesus asking this question, I'd call it a silly question. But because Jesus asked the question, it's got to be a bit serious. There's got to be a reason for asking it. Who are you looking for? And today, we're going to ask the same question. Who are you looking for? Because quite often, when we think we're looking for Jesus, after a while, we realize we've been looking for the wrong Jesus. So our question we're asking today is, who are you looking for? So one of my kids, or all of my kids, when they were growing up, in fact, when they were tiny, little babies. Have we got any babies in the house today? We've got a couple of babies. When they were very small, my favorite book to read them was from a series called That's Not My. Has anyone read these books before? Put your hand up if you've read these stories before. You've got all sorts of books. You've got That's Not My Pig, That's Not My Pirate. Are there any more That's Not My's? That's Not My Turtle. What's this? That's Not My Lion. What was special about the lion? Did he have fuzzy ears? She can't remember. What else did we have? We had a lion. What else did we have?
That's Not My Otter.
The otter? Wow, there you go.
That's Not My Cat.
That's Not My Cat. That's Not My Dad. That's not, okay, you got that one as well. So you've got, we got one over here as well. That's Not My Snowman. There you go. There's so many. In fact, there's even That's Not My Narwhal, which, how many pictures of a narwhal can you come up with? I don't know. But you've got That's Not My Narwhal. Now, listen, I'm a pastor. So as I was growing up, and I was very respectful and thankful for this, the lady that wrote this, her name was Fiona Watt. And she did all sorts of human emotions and important things and robots and cars. My particular favorite one was That's Not My Truck because its hubcaps were so squashy. There are so many that I loved in that book series. But the one they didn't have was a That's Not My Jesus. And I was like, they need a That's Not My Jesus in this series. So I wrote to Lady Bird and I said, would you write a That's Not My Jesus? And they said, we'd get sued. So I wrote to Osborne and said, could I have a That's Not My Jesus? And they said, if you write it, we'll sue you. So I gave up on the idea of That's Not My Jesus. But for myself and for my own kids, I wrote a That's Not My Jesus. Does anyone want to read That's Not My Jesus? I'm going to give you a first few pages. Okay, so here it is, That's Not My Jesus. It's been lovingly illustrated by Mr. Paul Brown, who's not here today. Actually, this lady who wrote That's Not My series, she boasts having written like 100 books, but all of them are really short, so a bit cheeky. But here we go, That's Not My Jesus. Okay, the first one is this. That's Not My Jesus, his beard is too scratchy. Jesus would have had a very soft beard. I don't know whether he would have or not, but I've got to be careful with what I say here. That's Not My Jesus, his sandals are too socky. It's a common mistake to think that Jesus wore socks and sandals. That didn't start until my dad started in 1974. He started that trend, not Jesus. Or what about this? That's not my Jesus. His sandwich is too porky. Because he wouldn't have eaten a bacon sandwich or sausage roll. So I had plenty of my own. That's not my... And I had quite a few more, but the editor wouldn't let them in this situation. And really, the story that we've just read is about Mary looking for the wrong Jesus and not realizing it until the very end. And we're going to look today at the two Jesuses that Jesus thought she was looking at. The first one was dead Jesus. She was looking for dead Jesus. And of course, it's very understandable that Mary was looking for dead Jesus. It makes a lot of sense. You see, Mary was so close to Jesus. Mary had a really tough life. And lots of people writ her off and said, there's no hope for this woman. Just leave her to be. Just let her get on with it and let's move on. But Jesus saw her and saw life and hope and freedom. And he brought that to her. And so for Mary, Jesus was so important. They were dear friends. Mary and Jesus spent a lot of time together. Wherever the disciples were, it seems that Mary was there as well. So Mary loved Jesus. And then Jesus, as we know, the Easter story, the Good Friday story, Jesus is arrested. He's put on trial. He's accused of doing stuff that he didn't do. And he got put, as a punishment, he got put on the cross, where he died. And Mary was right there watching it all unfold. She was at the cross. She heard Jesus speaking from the cross. And when he died and the skies went gray, it went dark, and Mary saw it all. She saw Jesus breathe his last. She saw a soldier put a stick in his side to make sure that he was dead. And she was grieving. She was sad. And then she saw Jesus' body being taken from the cross and onto the floor and wrapped up and taken by Joseph of Arimathea to a place where he would be buried. It tells us in Matthew that Mary was there watching it all happen. She saw the stone being rolled in front of the tomb so no one could get in and no one could get out. She had seen dead Jesus. And it happened to be a Friday, and on the Saturday there was a special festival. In fact, a Friday evening, the festival was going to start. So she couldn't do anything more. She just had to go home and wait. Because of this festival, she couldn't be with Jesus anymore. She just wanted to spend time with Jesus. She just wanted to be sad, because that was a sad moment in her life. So anyway, she comes back. It says she came back very early on the Sunday morning. Before the light had even come, before the sun had even risen, Mary is there. She wants to be with Jesus. She's brought spices so she can tend to his body. What's she doing there? She's just honoring. She's loving. She's caring. She's being sad. And she's remembering her best friend, Jesus. So Mary came on that morning before the sun even came up, and she was looking for dead Jesus. I want to take a moment just to think about churches, because if you think about it, there's quite a lot of dead things going on in church. So, for example, a lot of churches have got gravestones all around, and you walk around them and you see this person died in 1862, or this person. We in City Hope, we don't have any of those gravestones, but we do have lots of stones and plaques, like to Spurgeon, to remember him. Or if you look around the building, you'll find stones and plaques commemorating, remembering certain people. And that's a really important thing. But the question is, why do we care about dead things? If you think about every time we take communion, we're remembering what? The death of Jesus, his blood poured out for us, his body given for us. That's what we're remembering in that moment. For some people, it doesn't actually, they don't feel it matters whether Jesus is alive or dead. What they're celebrating is a tradition. They love coming to church. They love the songs we sing, perhaps. They love the kind of the way it feels a little bit like, oh, like the good old days in church. And actually, whether or not Jesus is alive or dead, it doesn't really make so much difference. It's like, who cares? But actually, the Apostle Paul, who wrote quite a lot of the Old Testament, he said, if Jesus didn't rise again, if the resurrection didn't happen, if Good Sunday didn't take place, then any Christianity, any church, any sense of coming together for any reason is pointless. And we should be pitied. We shouldn't care. But if Jesus did rise again, if he's not dead, then that changes everything. And let me ask you a question. Are you searching for dead Jesus in your life? That's what Mary was doing. But what Mary didn't realize is that dead Jesus didn't exist. So that's the first person Mary was looking for. The second person she was looking for was lost Jesus. So she's crying at the tomb. She's lost Jesus. And the angels come to her and say, "Why are you crying?" Don't you think that's a silly question to ask? Of course you should know why she's crying. Why are you crying? Jesus is there, and he asks, "Why are you crying?" See, through her grief, her panic, her tears, her sadness, she couldn't even see that it was Jesus in front of her. Do you know when you're really crying and there's like, just tears welled up in your eyes and you can't see what's going on? Perhaps you've been crying. I think she's been crying for a few days. Maybe her eyes are just swollen. She's so heartbroken. She can't even see what's in front of her. And so she says, "I'm looking for Jesus. They've taken his body away. Please, if you've taken it away, tell me where you've put him and I'll go and find him." And I just want to pause there. You know, sometimes it can feel like we've lost Jesus. It can feel like life is just tough and hard and sad, and it's like we've lost Jesus. Where is he? Jesus, where are you? She had been used to being with Jesus ever since the day he set her free. He was there. She was with him. And now she's lost the love of her life, and she's mourning and she's sad. That can feel like us sometimes. Even if we've been walking with Jesus, there are moments in life where it's just like, I've lost him. He's gone. He's disappeared. I can't find him. And maybe in the grief, you don't realize, even though you're looking for lost Jesus, he's closer than you think. So Mary was looking for dead Jesus, but he didn't exist. And she was looking for lost Jesus, and he was closer than she realized. But now, in the story, and I'm going to read a little bit of it again, she gets to meet the real Jesus. She gets to meet the living Jesus. She gets to meet the Jesus she never knew existed. It says this from verse 14. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll go and get him." And Jesus said, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." What a beautiful picture that is. See, Mary had been looking for dead Jesus but couldn't find him. She'd been looking for lost Jesus and didn't know where he was. But in this beautiful picture, it's Jesus in the end that finds Mary. And at first, she doesn't even realize that it's Jesus talking to her until Jesus calls her name. One word, Mary. One word, and tears of sadness and devastation are turned to tears of joy. One word, Mary, and what was lost has been found. One word, Mary, and blindness of grief is turned to the light and a glorious vision of the risen Lord Jesus. One word, Mary, and everything has changed for all eternity. And you know what? This is my prayer for us today. Because one word and everything changes. And my prayer is that today you would hear the name of Jesus calling your name. One word and everything changes. One word, and max, you know that Jesus loves you. One word, and you can see what's going on. One word, and you can suddenly understand what's happening. One word, one name. I wonder if you've heard Jesus call your name. I wonder if you've heard him call out you and see the transformation that happens in one moment. The funny thing about Mary's story is that Mary thought that she was looking for Jesus. She was looking for dead Jesus. She was looking for lost Jesus. It turns out Jesus was looking for Mary. You think you've been seeking him? Turns out he's been seeking you. Now, I'm going to call a band up because I've almost finished. How are we doing with the Easter eggs? We're doing good. The bunny's disappeared. I don't know where. She's disappeared. So, you're probably desperate to know, in the stories, that's not my Jesus. It always finds, or any of those stories, they always find the right thing in the end. Yeah, that's not my truck. He finds the perfect truck. That's not my, what did you say? That's not my otter. She finds the perfect otter. That's not my fairy. She finds the fairy with the sparkly wand. So you're asking, how do I finish this story? And to be honest with you, Paul was not a good enough illustrator, and I was not a good enough writer to sum it up in one sentence. So I thought I'd tell you a whole load of my sentences. Do you want to hear that? Shall we stand together? And in a moment, we are about to have a celebration. We're about to sing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but I just need to finish my book first. That's not my Jesus. He's the one, that's my Jesus. He's the one that turns night into day. That's my Jesus. He's the one that turns tears of sadness into tears of joy. That's my Jesus. He's the one that finds the one who is lost. That's my Jesus. He's the one that knows your name. That's my Jesus. He's the one who couldn't be held down by the powers of hell. He couldn't be defeated by the grave. That's my Jesus. He's the one who's conquered death and beaten my sin. That's my Jesus. He's the one who ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That's my Jesus. He's too good to be shown on a picture. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you something? If you are looking for dead Jesus, he doesn't exist. If you're looking for lost Jesus, he's closer than you think. But if you're looking for a living, death-defeating, life-giving, hope-bringing Jesus, the champion of heaven, then I've got great news. He's ready and waiting with his arms open wide, and we can celebrate him. Amen? Amen? We're going to have fun. We're going to have some fun. And kids, you're going to have to dance, but you're going to need some help, aren't you? Yeah? You're going to need some help. So as the song goes, Kwame's going to explain. Did you want to explain? Just to say, if you've got any intolerances of balloons, you might want to get out of the way. Here we go.